Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program heard weekdays on 18 radio stations with 27 signals all across the Treasure State. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook at Voices of Montana and on the internet at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. All right, not quite officially spring yet, but we're shining that spring spotlight on 4-H students today from around the state. Going to make stops in Emigrant, Warden, Cutbank, Montana. Going to talk with youth camp counselors, youth leaders, goat lovers, dog lovers, bakers, gardeners, photographers. There's an endless list of activities on the resume for this month's 4-H Spotlight nominees. So join us. Going to talk with Megan Otis. Lucas Arkell is in studio here, along with Ronnie Baker, Lexi Stubbs, and their mentors here today on the March 4-H Spotlight on Voices of Montana. Got a couple of folks in studio. We'll talk with Lucas Arkell here in just a little bit. Lucas, say hello.
My name is Lucas Arkell. This is my...
Beautiful. Why don't you just take it from here, right?
Okay. Yeah, go.
Ronnie Baker in studio as well. And as I mentioned, too, a bit later on, we'll be making trips over to Cutbank, Montana. Lucas is from Warden, but we'll say hello to Lexi Stubbs. Shortly, Megan Otis with us. And then right as we kick off the bat here, John Hawley, too. Thank you for being here. It is two decades strong and working on three from Montana for Montana. Voices of Montana. John Hawley is the MSU Extension Director of Communications. John, you're missing out on all the fun here today.
Oh, Tom, I just hate that I can't be in the studio today, but it sounds like you've got a fun crew there with you.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. And you know how it is. You know, when the mic is off, we're torturing people, and then, you know, we're lifting them up and tearing them down at the same time. These two are taking it pretty well, John.
That's the true Voices of Montana way, right?
Yeah. No, we are having our share of fun in here, and it'll be fun to talk with folks here today. Let's get some things kind of covered here. Tell us about the 4-H Spotlight. We've been doing it for a little while here. It's brought to you by Montana State Fund and MSU Extension Director of Communications. How's the program going?
Well, first of all, thank you for your efforts. So it's been almost a year now since we've been doing this program, and I think it's just been going really, really well. You know, this program is an opportunity to recognize the exceptional abilities and the future that our 4-H'ers are laying before them. And we have three wonderful young people today that are really going to demonstrate the career paths that are developed by participating in Montana 4-H.
Give us an overview of what we don't know about 4-H. I mean, and we talk about it frequently. I think people are recognizing it. It's not just an ag community sort of organization.
Absolutely. But I think beyond that, I think what I would like to frame 4-H as, we are a positive youth development program, but maybe more importantly in this day and age, we are a career readiness program. Our youth come into the program, they can start as young as 5, we can sign up a senior in high school, and these youth come in and they will build skills through interaction in club activities, conferences, events, fairs. Those events and such will benefit them in their career path, no matter where they end up and no matter what their interests are. So truly, 4-H is a career readiness program that is open to any Montanan, rural, city, suburban, you name it. We want you in the program.
You know, Ronnie Baker, since you're in studio, I'm going to toss it to you on that one about career readiness. You've been with the program a little bit, as has John. Talk about that. Have you seen 4-H students what they're doing in 4-H, and then that leads them into whatever their career services are?
Absolutely. You know, I think even if we just look around KGHL and Northern Ag Network, you know, the number of people that have those background skills, those things that they use to go into whatever field, you know, whether it's project related or whether it is, you know, to learn public speaking, to learn organization, some of those other skills, for sure.
Yeah, I think 50% of the folks here have been through 4-H.
I bet that's true.
Yeah, yeah. And I have as well. John, how do people, I mean, is it tough to get in? Is the work hard?
Oh, work is always hard. No matter what organization you're a part of, you know, there's going to be efforts on the part of the youth and the part of our volunteers that are needed. But no, anyone is welcome to our program. I would encourage listeners. It's certainly not too late to sign your kids up for programs and activities. I hate saying it, but we're getting close to summer here. So visit montana.edu/4-H and learn more today. Get in touch with your local county agent.
All right, super. Give us an idea then of where we're going with 4-H. You talked about it being career readiness. Does the program in itself mold around the individual?
Absolutely. You know, I think there's a different spin on 4-H, no matter what program or county you're in, I should say, because we know that Montana is a very diverse and unique state. What's going on in Yellowstone County as far as activities and programs may not be the same as what's going on in Carter County or in Fallon County. So, you know, as far as where the program is going, I think it's very, very locally focused, and it's meeting the needs of local Montanans. And that's exactly what the purpose of extension is, you know, going beyond the 4-H program. We're meeting local needs. And so in some areas, there's a lot of interest in raising goats. In some areas, there's a lot of interest in engineering and such. And those things cross over. But I think the program is growing dependent on the needs of the local area.
John Hawley, again, is with MSU Extension, Director of Communications. Here's the 4-H Spotlight for March, brought to you by Montana State Fund. Megan Otis will be joining us here in a bit. She's from Park County, our Western Region nominee, immigrant Montana, and also the Park County Extension agent over there. But we have Lucas Arkell in studio here. And Lucas, what up? We're going to pop you right up right now since you're on. And thanks for being in studio. I appreciate that. First question is, what do you make of this? You've been around a little bit. You have been speaking publicly for quite a while, haven't you?
Yeah, I've done a bunch of different interviews at like Ferret or Sale Day and a bunch of different things like that here and there in the county.
Yeah, so it's do you enjoy that? Yeah,
I find it kind of fun. I have a lot of fun with the people before and after the interview and during.
I laughed, John and Ronnie, when Lucas said we were testing a mic and he says, I have a goat. What's the goat's name?
The one that I was talking about, her name is Dottie. She's one of our bum goats. So we raised her as a baby. We made our formula or false milk, basically. And we just raised her up. She's like a dog, basically.
Yeah.
But you don't know that Lucas has lots of goats now.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of goats, lots of sheep. And so he's really expanded from Dottie.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah. Talk about that. I mean, what... So you raised one goat, and then you thought, oh, I can handle 10?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah. Except for it was more like 20. Yeah, so we have three different herds. We have our goat herd, which we use for showing at the fair. Well, we show all of them at the fair, but our goat herd we show mainly at the fair. We have a Suffolk sheep herd, which is our meat sheep, and then we have our Columbias, which are a bigger wool sheep.
What are you going to do with this information? One of the things that's noted here is that you're always looking for opportunities to learn. What do you do with what you have learned?
So one thing that I've been learning is how to shear my sheep, and it's a very profitable business. I've been trying to get into that more and more recently because the Columbias, I have to do it anyways, so I'll just do it for everybody.
That's really cool. Ronnie, talk about Lucas.
Well, Lucas is an outstanding member in our county. He's very involved and active. One thing that I really love is that he does some training with young kids. He's committed to him and his mom. Every month they have put on sheep and goat workshops. And we now have kind of it spread out. Kids from other counties even come to learn about that. They do necropsies at it. They do, I think this last one, you were doing samples of feces and learning mm-hmm. about parasites. And so all those kind of things. And Lucas really takes the lead with that. I think that the young kids really look up to him and that they are... intrigued by that. And it's a fun, interesting way for them to learn and a fun way for Lucas to teach that.
Yeah, and all that you have going on, you're also very concerned about making sure that the young ones are encouraged about that. Where does that come from?
My first couple years in 4-H, I didn't really have a mentor. It was all kind of self-taught. And then once I got that mentor, everything became so much easier. So my deal is I didn't want our younger kids in the county struggling because they don't have that mentor.
And Ronnie, that speaks to, we talk to a lot of really good mentors and volunteers in the program as well, and the dedicated MSU extensions too. But there's always room for more.
There is, absolutely. We're always looking for more volunteers in lots of areas. I think it's kind of changed over time. You know, the days of the volunteer that'll volunteer for 4-H for 30 years is changing. So we kind of have to modify that. Will you come and teach this one class on cake decorating or whatever that information may be? Just like last weekend, we had a local veterinarian who's an alumni, and she was the one that did our parasite class for us.
So Lucas, when you talk to the young kids and you say, hey, we're gonna check for parasites and feces, do you have to encourage them about something like that? Or, hey, this is going to be fun?
No, of our kids that we have are like really into stuff like that. All of our dissections and anything involving feces.
Well, that's funny. I have a group of bandmates that are the same way. Talk more about then what kids need when you're mentoring these youth. A lot of encouragement, I presume. But what, in your opinion, and you're not much older than they are, you know, at 17 years old. Thank you for that service to them. What do they need?
So I feel like a lot of the kids in our county, they kind of need to be shown what to do first. And then I just go through and help them figure it out kind of on their own. And that helps most of the people. Some of them require more effort than others, but it's a learning style.
It is. And I think helpful is one of the key things Lucas just said. I think that he really is a leader in that. He really models those skills, but also just his personality and his ability to be respectful and set goals and those kind of things that I think those young kids really look up to and
do. Did you learn it all at once? Was there a an event or something where you thought, oh, I better pull up my britches and get some knowledge and get moving on in the right direction?
Oh, not at all. Yeah. It was all acquired through various different events. Learn showing, kind of basics at my first show, walked around in a circle, had no idea what to do. It's kind of watch and learn. But then we started getting more and more people coming into the project, and then we had more leaders come in. So I kind of just learned a bunch from them, too.
Well, about leadership, I think there's different styles of leadership. And you've probably thought about that. I know 4-H teaches leadership in that regard. Talk to me about youth leadership at your age.
So youth leadership at my age, a lot of leaders my age lead by example. So a bunch of our bigger leaders, they do stuff and the littler or newer members see that and they copy it. And me, I do the same thing to my best ability.
Yeah, I think that the other thing that I think happens with is we give kids as they start up through 4-H and growing, and I know Lucas has been involved as a camp counselor. He's been involved as a youth chairman at the fair to help under certain projects. He also doesn't just do animal projects, but in the indoor department. So I think modeling that, I think, is part of that I think is really key and that kids see.
That's Ronnie Baker. She's a Yellowstone County Extension agent. We also have Lucas Arkell in studio here today. And a bit later on, hopefully talking with Megan Otis and also Lexi Stubbs from Glacier County. Lucas, the whole experience of 4-H is kind of hard to wrap it up. But you're probably, if you're speaking a lot, you're probably asked to give us a summary or wrap up your experience in 4-H. You're not done with 4-H, though, so you're not done experiencing these things.
No.
Yeah. But what if you talk to young people who are not engaged in 4-H, and like you say, leading by example, but every now and again, you have to use words, right? Mm-hmm. What do you say to them?
So when I'm talking to like our newer members in 4-H, I kind of emphasize that individuality. So 4-H isn't meant for one person. Okay, we have indoor projects for if you can't raise animal, and we have animal projects for if you're not as good as the indoor projects. There's just anything.
And there's no barriers either, it seems like.
No. So we have a project for astronautics.
Yep. Aeronautics stuff, as well as lots of engineering kind of projects and hands-on, of course, is the way that we continue to teach all the time that I think that makes that happen. I think also another way that Lucas leads is sharing his voice. And so I think you're not hearing all of that today, Tom, but you know, when we have livestock meetings, we want young people there. It's their program, and we want them to share what they think and what they want to have to say. And Lucas does that very respectfully, and I think that makes people and adults listen then.
Well, Lucas, you get to co-host the program from here on out, okay? You good with that?
Oh,
that'll be so much fun. It really will. I'm curious, as you say, you have this desire to learn, and you're learning in a lot of ways, but you're also focused on the young kids itself. Have you learned to manage your time in that regard so you can accomplish all those things?
I feel like time management is definitely a struggle for me because I try to be everywhere at once and it doesn't work sometimes. So this year I've focused a lot more on taking a step back and figuring out what I can and can't do. And I think it's going pretty good. There's a lot less stress on everything. So.
Yeah. Ronnie, did you want to comment on that? I mean, because with all those things that are available to you, you might go, wow, and then put too much on your plate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a pretty common way. I had to try it all. And I think that's true of all of us. You know, I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to try 10 projects, then focus it back down.
We're going to take a break then. Thank you guys for being in studio here. We'll talk with you more. Phones are going to be pretty busy here as we'll be speaking with Megan Otis from Park County, Emigrant, Montana. We'll talk to her about her pig and cattle operation shortly. Ronnie Baker is in studio as well. She's the MSU Extension agent out of Yellowstone County. And also Lucas Arkell is with us too. He's the 4-H Spotlight nominee for the month of March here for the Eastern Montana region. So with that, let's say hello to Megan. Megan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm doing. Are you skipping school today?
I am.
No, I'm sorry. No, I apologize for that, and thank you for that sacrifice.
Yeah, of course.
What do you love about 4-H?
I think the thing that I love most about 4-H is being able to meet new people and the way that it brings communities and friends and family together in one spot to support each other.
One of the things it says here is that you were working with cattle, and that it taught you how to be responsible. Talk about that process. I mean, talk about what you learned about yourself through these projects, Megan.
So the way that these projects like have taught me how to be responsible and be a human, like a really high quality functioning human being, is that they take a lot of time. So I breed cattle and my family owns a ranch and I breed and raise pigs as well. And through those things, you have to know how to, like, you have to keep up with the dates so that you know when to breed them. You have to feed them every single day and take care of them. With the show calves and show pigs, you have to exercise and work their skin and hair every day. And so those things all together really take time and make it to where you have to have time management. You have to do those things every day in order for those animals to survive. It's because they're depending on you, and that just teaches you a lot of really high quality life skills every single day.
Is that hard sometimes? Is it a challenge sometimes?
Yes. Most of the time it is a challenge, especially when you're still a high school student that also does sports and FFA and other activities. So it takes a lot of time, and so do all of those other things. So it's a challenge to get it all done in one day and every day. So, yeah.
Megan Otis is with us again, the 4-H nominee for the Eastern, Western Montana region, out of Emigrant, Montana. Also, the Park County Extension agent, Jackie Pondolafino, is with us as well. Jackie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you doing?
I think we're doing really great. Give us the 411 on Megan Otis.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Megan not only is awesome at showing animals and taking care of her animals for fair jackpots, and then she goes on and travels all over the country to show her animals, but she's also on our team leader council. She's the president, and she is just one busy girl, but she not only excels with showmanship, but also leadership and setting a good example.
What does Megan need? How do you help Megan along?
Oh my goodness. Well, usually she doesn't ask me for too much help, but usually what does Megan need? That's a really tough question. I think it's great when she gets support from her community members, whether they just ask her how the critters are doing or they're showing up to sale day at fair and showing support that way too.
You know, Megan, one of the things that you and Lucas Arkell share in common here, and Lucas is in studio, is that you both are camp counselors. Talk about that experience. Talk about why you value that. Talk about what you try to leave behind and what you try to take away from your camp counseling experiences.
So I've been a camp counselor for 6 years now, I believe. And my goal as being a camp counselor and one of our main camp counselors here in Livingston is that I want to help other kids have the amazing 4-H experience that I had when I was their age. And camp, especially at camp, I met my best friend today at 4-H camp, and that's how we bonded and got to know each other. And a lot of those kids don't really have, like, they struggle to get friends throughout the 4-H deal until they go to 4-H camp. Like, it's just a bonding experience away from working with your animals, and just to get to know all of the kids in your community and really bond with each and every single one of them. And I want all of those kids to experience that.
Yeah.
In a positive way.
Yeah. I mean, that's a unique setting, I think, to for kids to learn and for kids to grow friendships and things like that, and maybe grow up a little bit too, for that matter. I don't want to rush you into that, but Lucas, what's your experience as a camp counselor as well?
One of my main experiences as a camp counselor is seeing these kids kind of grow their confidence up to be able to talk to new people. So our camp, we do a dance every year, and I think it's really fun to see them kind of like build themselves up to go talk to that girl that they like or want to dance with.
There you go. Spoken like a true teenage boy.
That's right. That's right. Jackie, I want to just talk to you about how important it is to have leaders like Megan in your group like that. I suppose it encourages other kids to be 4-H members. And not only that, it probably encourages them to do well in 4-H.
Absolutely. So Megan this year is going to be a huge help. She's already been a massive help. But we have a lot of new 4-H members in Park County and a lot of young members. And so Megan is helping by putting on a marketing class to those new members to help them market their projects throughout the year to potential buyers or their schools, just so folks can know how much work they're putting into those projects. She's also helping us with livestock quality assurance to make sure those critters are healthy, well-fed, leading up to fair. Yeah.
Megan, what do you want to do?
I want to be a nurse, actually. That's what I'm going to college for. But one thing I've been struggling with, knowing what to go to school for, is that I want to help kids so much that I've thought about being a teacher. I've thought about going to be an extension agent, and that might change one day. But what I want to do is I want to help people in any way I can.
That's really tough then. I mean, making a career choice, I suppose it's different nowadays where you can make a choice. You don't feel like you have to be, that has to be your full on, you know, 50-year career, I suppose. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I do feel that way.
Then I want to talk about a little bit about your pig and cattle operation as well. How many and how much time does it take you?
Oh boy, it takes a lot of time. but I'm a big Hereford breeder. I'm our Montana Junior Hereford president. So I focus most of my time and energy into my Hereford cattle and breeding and raising them. So I have about 20 Hereford cows, and then I have a few Hereford or clubby cattle too that I show just to sell to kids in Park County for show steers and show heifers and such. And I have about 8 to 10 bulls, and then my family on their ranch has about 200 head of calves, so I help with them. And then with my pigs, I raise about 60 to 70 pigs each year, and I have about 9 to 15 sows depending on the year. So
that's an awful lot to kind of keep track of. So I want to leave a room for you to talk about encouraging other kids, because you noted how that important that is to you.
So I really just I want other kids to have the amazing experience I have in 4-H, because I've had such an amazing time, and it's truly made me the person I am and made me so driven and set my life up to be how it is, and it's truly amazing. And so I just want other kids to be able to have that experience, and I want to help them have it.
Well, Megan, we need more like you out there. And same for you, Jackie Pondolofino from Park County Extension Agent there. Thank you guys for that. I appreciate that. And we look forward to hearing from you down the road.
Thank you so much.
Our 4-H Spotlight shines this month for March. Again, brought to you by Montana State Fund. We've got Lucas Arkell in studio here. He's from Warden, Montana. Ronnie Baker, the Yellowstone County Extension Agent, also in studio here. And really love having you guys in studio. Thank you for being here. And then we're going to head over to Cupbank, like I said, and Lexi Stubbs is joining us now. And also with Lexi is Carrie Lewis, the Glacier County Extension Agent. Good morning, Lexi. What's going on?
Good morning. Right now I'm with my choir.
Oh, you are? Oh, yeah. That's cool. So you stepped out of choir practice to do a little radio interview?
Yeah, my choir teacher booked a trip while I had this.
You're probably one of the coolest kids in school, Lexi. Let's say hello to Carrie Lewis as well. Good morning, Carrie. How are you doing?
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for being here. I'm going to have you brag about Lexi, and then we'll have Lexi go, yeah, that's all true.
Well, when I was thinking back, I think one of the coolest things that I've seen in Lexi is just the growth that she's had in 4-H. And her first year in 4-H, her club leader told me, she was like, I think she's crying at every meeting. And she's like, I don't know what to do. And Lexi was the kid that sat in the corner and was totally overwhelmed. And now she's this amazing teen leader who the last couple of years, she has won our county communications contest for the career communications division. And she's taken on leadership projects and she's applied for grants and she regularly attends small animal and council meetings. And she's done workshops on dog and rabbit and poultry. And so it's just been pretty fun to see the 8 or 9 year old come in who's nervous and not sure what to do in 4-H, but they've stuck with it and they've grown incredibly, you know, just a huge amount and developed confidence and speaking skills and are to the point where they are sharing those skills and leading workshops and giving back to the program and to others. So just a lot of growth in Lexi, and she's only 8th grader. Is that right, Lexi?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So she's still got a few more years ahead of her, but she's done a great job so far.
That's a great story. Lexi, talk about that. So when you came into 4-H, a little bit shy about things, when did you feel like you broke out of your shell? Or when did you feel like, I've got something to offer here and I want to talk to somebody about it?
So I started to do like bigger shows. Like I do AKC with my two dogs. And I think that really helps doing something outside of 4-H. So that kind of just spreads around and then just kind of helped me out.
And you are doing like a ton of stuff. It looks like here you're a dog lover, you're a rabbit lover, you're a cat lover, poultry, dairy goat. I mean, you get all those animals in the same yard. How do you get them, you know, behaving all together?
I spend a lot of time with them and we do a lot of training even when it's cold out.
And that probably takes just a ton of time. Is there some kind of like some common way to take care of animals that helps, or do you have to learn their individual personalities and their characteristics?
I think it really is individual personalities, because I've got dogs that are like super shy and timid and don't even want to go near people. And then I've got dogs that would run up to the first person they saw, or goats that would do the exact same thing.
Lucas, I'm going to ask you the same question, as you take care of a lot of animals as well. Do you have to try to read them individually? I mean, you know, a dog is not just a dog. A dog can be a bum or, you know, an executive, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. Animals are very personality characteristics. They have tons of them. It's just like people, basically. They just can't talk.
Do you have a question for Lexi?
You're in all of these projects and stuff. Do you find it that sometimes you have to kind of take a step back and reevaluate what you want to do?
Good question.
Yeah, I do find myself doing that a lot of times, because I also do a lot of sports and like outside shows, and I do like a lot of really busy things, and I always have to like step back and realize what I'm doing to see if I can actually fit it all in.
Care, you probably are part of that process as well. Talk about how you want to manage the project, so to speak. You want to encourage kids to do as much as they can, but if they're doing too much, then they're not getting enough out of those projects.
Sure, I think that's definitely something that we talk with families about, and even when people join 4-H, what is realistic? Is it one or two projects? What do they have the ability to handle, because we want people to be successful. And so I think time management is certainly something that a lot of our 4-H'ers learn in 4-H, and Lexi would be one of those. She has been one of our high point winners at the Marias Fair, which is essentially who has provided the most high quality exhibits. And so that's one of those things that you don't start the week of fair and win that award. That's something that you're likely working on throughout the year and preparing exhibits and posters and exhibits for the fair. And so I think that's a good example of her ability to manage time. And she's also set that goal and wanted to work towards that too.
And like you said, Lexi, I mean, you sit on your school student council, you're a treasurer of the 4-H club, and you have an active seat on the Marias Fair, the 4-HA committee. It's a lot of responsibility. Ronnie Baker in studio here as well, Ronnie.
Yeah, I would agree with Carrie. I think that, that kids in 4-H, they explore so many options. There's so many choices about projects and activities and leadership opportunities, like the being on a fair board, those kind of things. And I think that, what that leads to is they start to maybe focus on that. I think we heard that from Megan as well as Lucas, and then kind of explore all those passions and determine, like, where does that lead me and what do I want to focus on? And into that, as John mentioned, the career readiness piece. You know, I think it lets kids explore those things of where is my passion and what do I want to do?
Lexi, what was like some of the funnest projects that you got yourself into, or whether it's by yourself or things you did in the community?
I would probably say one of my funner projects is my dog project, just because my dogs are just so different and I get to take them out into the community and just see how they react and see how people react around them. And it's a really cool thing to see.
What kind of dogs do you have?
So I have two mixes. I have a husky mix and I have a pointer mix.
And their names?
Raisin and Daisy.
Raisin and Daisy. I love it. Where'd those names come from?
So I both got them as rescues. Uh-huh. So Raisin came from our shelter here in town. And then Daisy came all the way from Deer Lodge.
Lexi Stubbs again, out of Cutbank, Montana, again, with the 4-H spotlight here. It's actually Glacier County and our Central Montana nominee. Lexi, the leadership aspect of 4-H, you're only 12 years old, but you're understanding, I think, that everybody has value in a community. Talk about leadership at such a young age. And when people look up to you, how does that make you feel?
So I think that leadership is just a really big thing that you don't even have to really like focus on to do. And it just feels really empowering when you see people looking up to you, because then you know that you're being a bigger person than other people and you're just being a really good person to yourself.
Carrie, how do you guys encourage leadership then? Because you don't want to force that mantle on people. You want them to be called to leadership in that regard. So how do you encourage that?
I would say one thing is just helping kids find what they're passionate about. When somebody's passionate about a project, we can totally find a way that they can do that within 4-H. And then I think the role model thing is huge. Whether it be at a club meeting or within the fair, the fact of having older kids leading just helps create that cycle that younger kids look up to them and they realize and understand that this is what we do in 4-H. This is the expectation. And I think within our county, we currently have 12 or 13 4-Hers enrolled in the Teen Leadership Project, which Lexi's a part of. And so that helps give those kids the ability to pursue leadership more, and then also giving them opportunities, whether that would be being a club officer or serving on a committee or attending an event like Rec Lab or 4-H Congress. Leadership is just a huge component of 4-H, and it's a great place to try it out, gain that skill. If you fall down a couple times, that's okay. It's a pretty low-stakes place to get back up and try it again and develop those skills. So.
Yeah. Carrie, maybe talk about that a little bit, because your leadership is not just in 4-H, but you've taken it out of the 4-H club. You're an active seat on the Marias, you know, 4-H-A committee, so to speak. You're a student council representative as well. You know, talk about how important that is to take those leadership skills and display those out in the community.
Yeah, I think that's something that definitely sets our 4-Hers apart, the fact that from the time they're 8 or 9 years old, they're able to attend club meetings and see how a meeting should run and be a part of that, so that then by the time they're in middle school, high school, they already have some of those skills that they can apply to things like student council or other areas of their life as well, and develop those skills. And we give them the opportunities. Even Lexi, she recently applied for Montana 4-H People Partner Grant, and so she had the opportunity to write that grant. There's probably not many other 8th graders out there who have written a grant, but that's an opportunity that she can do through 4-H to develop her leadership skills.
What was that like, Lexi?
It was really confusing, and it was also pretty stressful because I had to do it for my leadership project, and I hadn't really like gone out and measured my barn or anything for my project, and so I had to try to like estimate the prices for everything when I didn't know what I was going to get, and just I didn't know if it was going to be good enough to get the grant.
And that happened? Did you get that grant?
I have not heard back if I've gotten the grant yet.
All right. Well, keep hanging in there, right? And you know what? You got to kind of push through sometimes, too. You're not going to always be successful in those types of endeavors, but it's sort of a numbers game in that regard. The kind of look down the road for you. You're a four-sport athlete. You're involved in a lot of activities. You know, Lucas had said and asked a good question about when is too much, so to speak. But you're only 12 years old. You know, talk about the sports that you love. And then we're always curious about what you might think you'll be doing down the road.
So right now I've played volleyball, tennis, track, softball, and I'm a wrestling manager currently. And further down the road, my dream job would to be either be an MRI tech or a vet tech.
Did you learn that wrestling managing by having dairy goats and horses and dogs and rabbits and cats?
Yeah, I kind of learned how to just keep track of things and how to just keep it all organized.
Carrie Lewis, again, the Glacier County Extension Agent, and then Lexi Stubbs from Cutbank, Montana. Lexi, thank you. Thank you for taking an active role in the community. Thank you for being, a mentor for the youth. And then also thank you for being, a learner as well. Look forward to chatting with you down the road, too, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. That's Alexi Stubbs and Carrie Lewis. Our 4-H member spotlight for March, brought to you by Montana State Fund. Wrapping up here in studio, Tom Schultz alongside Lucas Arkell is with us, too. He's our nominee out of Warden, Montana. And then Ronnie Baker, Yellowstone County Extension Agent. Just a few minutes, Ronnie. There's some shout-outs that we want to give to folks. So Jerry Marks is one. And then a gal you've been working with for a few years.
Yeah, Jerry Marks has just retired from a county agent position in Missoula after 54 years.
Big hand for him.
Woo-hoo,
thank you, Jerry.
Jerry mentored folks across the state, created a garden and learning center in Missoula. That was his goal. Got that accomplished. And so congratulations to Gary. To Jerry, excuse me, on what's next.
Yeah.
The other is Tristan Fagler, the ag agent in our county. Has her husband got a position in Colorado, and so they've chosen to move there. Hopefully just for a few years. Maybe we'll get her back in Montana, an ag agent. And she was really connected to the community here. So we just are going to start to advertise that position. So I guess I'd put that out there as well, as if there's some folks looking for a extension ag-focused position, we're going to have that advertised soon.
Lucas, I want to have you talk a bit about having some mentorship. You're mentoring young kids already, but there are folks in your world, so to speak, who have been mentoring you. Ronnie, maybe one. Talk about how that important is. You're just a sophomore in high school and a long ways to go and still a lot of decisions to make about your life. Brag on Ronnie if you want.
So I think mentors are really important, and it's really sad when we see some of them leave, because like Ronnie's been a huge influence in my life. She's kind of been that role model for me. She's helped me grow into positions that I've wanted to do. She's told me a bunch of different things that I can do. It's been really beneficial throughout my 4-H career.
Did you get to a point one time where you thought, wow, I don't know which way I'm going to go, and then you called somebody and they talked you through it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's 4-H is a path of basically, what do I want to do most? And I talked to a bunch of different people about, should I do this, should I do that? And Ronnie's been a huge voice of reason in that, and so has my mom and a bunch of other leaders.
All right. Shout out to the moms as well, yeah. And thanks to all those mentors. Folks want to get involved. Again, it's the Montana State Extension Program, 4-H. We'll have more information up on the website, too. Ronnie, thank you for what you do.
Thank you very much for having me.
Lucas, you killed it.
Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us for the podcast. Please share and subscribe and let us know what you think. Email me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. And don't forget, we're on weekdays on your hometown radio stations all across Montana. We hope to hear from you there, too.